Good morning. I think it's time for us to make our way in and begin our period of worship. Isn't it good for us to be here? I can tell many of you are enjoying being here. That's good. That's the type of noise we love to hear, is this noise of fellowship and love. And, you know, we just got a lot to celebrate in who we are. I want to begin by reading a favorite passage to you that expresses very well our reason to celebrate who we are, especially if times have not been the most pleasant. So I would like to read to you 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the test of genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Let's take that same spirit of celebration that all that God's done for us into our worship this morning.
Sing praises to your name.
In prayer, we'll sing Be Still and Know.
Be still and know that I Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this day that we have arisen and things are well with us this morning among the people here in our congregation. We asked your blessings upon each one here and blessings upon our families, wherever they may be. We look forward to gathering together this holiday season and enjoying one another's company. Our Father, there are those in our congregation who are suffering from sickness, in some cases very severe, and we trust that you will bless those who are taking care of them, that you will watch out for them, and if it be your will, give them their strength and health, for we know these good things come from you. Father, we pray for the Mobley family and for Amy and Brian Gaines, and trust that you'll be with them in their hour of sorrow and sickness and concern. Gracious Father, we know that it is because of your Son and his sacrifice that we have this great opportunity to take advantage of your grace, your mercy, and his blood. And for that, we are truly thankful. We look forward to spending heaven someday with you and Jesus, and trust that while we're here on this earth, we'll be faithful and loyal to you and glorify your name. We pray everything in Jesus' name this morning, and amen.
Would you please stand with me as we sing Heaven Came Down?
Jesus, my Savior and my Lord, oh, what a tender compassionate friend, even
seated.
This morning's scripture reading will be Hebrews 10, 5 through 10. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, 'Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book.' When he said above, 'You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law.' Then he added, 'Behold, I have come to do your will.' He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all."
We have noted before that when we come together like this, we come with quite an assortment of emotions. Some of us are carefree, happy, joyful, because everything's going well. Others come with heavy hearts. And you might not know it to look at these people, but they are going through difficult times. And we know that's the case with some among us right now. But one thing we know, and that is the Lord knows. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows what we're bringing to him. And he will give us the grace that is needed for each and every case. And so it's good to be together like this. And to know that God looks upon us and sees our hearts. And is ready to bless us because we are reaching out to him. We know also there are other brothers and sisters in Christ in other places, particularly in Arkansas, Tennessee, and Kentucky, that are going through some really tough times because of the tornadoes. It was devastating to a lot of different places. Phil was telling me just earlier that Renee's hometown, Dresden, really, really devastated. And many other small communities that we don't even know where they are because they're small. And so let's make a place in our prayers today and in the next several days to ask God for special mercy on those that are suffering, those that are working to try to help them in their suffering. And let's pray that we can do what we are able to do, and those ways may become clearer as the days go on. But God is good even in our times of adversity. And that's one reason we come together to praise him. We're so glad you're with us today. We have another excellent turnout today. I think it keeps getting better. And we're very happy to see each one of you with us, especially if you're visiting with us. Welcome. And if we can help with anything, please let us know and we'll do all we can. Those who are visiting with us online, welcome. We're glad you are here. And hope that you'll be able to join us in person sometime soon. But in the meantime, we're thankful that you are choosing to worship with us virtually. But Lord willing, we'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock. And we're going to continue the series that we're going to begin this morning. We're going to talk this morning about sacrifice, the sacrifice Jesus came to make. And this evening, we'll talk about warfare. And that may not seem the most natural subject to talk about, but I assure you it is one that affects every one of us. So I hope you'll come and join us here at the building if possible, and if not at the building, then be with us online. Get your Bible out. Let's get ourselves ready to get into the Word of God. I hope you'll look with me at these passages, and let's consider what the Lord has revealed to us, because it's always what we need. It is often the case that political candidates will visit places that seem kind of odd. I think, for example, in 1978, Richard Nixon, who by this time was now disgraced and had resigned office as president, yet accepted an invitation to come visit Hyden, Kentucky. And I'm from that area, and it's even hard for me to find Hyden, Kentucky. And yet people were, you know, they were excited. A president is coming. And yet you wonder why. Why did they come? Was it for personal gain? Was it for the publicity? Like with Harry Truman here pictured, the whistle stop campaign that he engaged in. And, you know, you can attribute all kinds of motives. But the question is, why did they come here? I mean, nobody comes here. Why did they come here? In December, much of the world thinks about the birth of Jesus. Even though we have no idea really when Jesus was born, we don't know that it was December 25th. Very likely was not. But still, the world rejoices and celebrates it. Other branches of Christendom will celebrate it at another time. And we do rejoice that Jesus chose to come to this earth the way we come to this earth, in a body of an infant. I mean, he could have appeared on a white stallion. He could have appeared in a glow and then, wow, there he is. But he did it just the way we do it. And that is amazing. That is wonderful. But I think the question is valid. Why? Why did Jesus come? And as we think about the birth of Jesus, I think that's really the question that ought to be biggest on our minds. That's where the Bible puts the emphasis, not the fact that he was born, which is great, but why he was born. And that's what we're going to be looking at today, this morning, this evening, and twice again next Sunday. So why did Jesus come? And we're going to look at different aspects of why, beginning now with the idea of sacrifice. So again, get your Bible if you don't already have it. Let's look at these passages and think about what we find. Well, first of all, let's begin with a clear statement of why Jesus came to this earth. And that was what we just heard in our reading. Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look again at verses 5 through 7. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7, and here is what we find. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, notice he says, when he came into the world, he said, now this doesn't mean the infant opened his mouth and said these things. This was the purpose of his coming into the world. When Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. So if you want to know why Jesus came, right there is a good place to begin. Because this is what the scripture says about why he came. Now, if you look at that, that's obviously a quotation from the Old Testament. And if you look at your footnotes, you'll see that it came from Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verses 6 to 8. And if you go back to that passage, you'll see there's a difference, however, in the wording of Psalm 40. Instead of saying, a body you have prepared for me, it says, an ear you have prepared for me. Now, the reason the writer does that, he is citing the Septuagint, that is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And that's how it's found in the Septuagint. And that was the Bible that Jesus and the apostles used. But the idea is still valid, and let me just note what Raymond Brown says in his comments on this passage. Some expositors have seen in the open ear of Psalm 40, verse 6, a reference to the boring of the slave's ear, and we've sung about that. Pierce my ear, O God. It was the way a slave would say, I don't want to leave. I want to belong to you for the rest of my life. And it could be that, Brown is saying, a symbol of willing obedience on the part of a servant who, because he loves his master, does not want to be released from his service. Whether it was this background or not, the open ear and the surrendered body amount to the same. Christ has opened his ear to God's word and surrendered his body for God's work. And I think that's obviously the idea that we're going to find in this passage in Hebrews chapter 10. So notice again what he said there in verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 10. I have come to do your will, O God. Now, what was that will? Well, part of it, you'll see, as we go down to verses 10 through 12, it spells it out and it sounds demanding. Indeed, it is. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 10. By that will, the will that he came to do, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body that Jesus said you have prepared for me. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Verse 11. And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And there is the will Jesus came to do, to offer a sacrifice. But not just any sacrifice, not like the priest of the Old Testament, where they would offer a lamb, rams, goats, bulls, all kinds of different offerings. He offered himself. He offered his body on the cross. And why was this necessary? Well, let's back up for a moment to chapter 9 of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, and just notice one comment that is found in verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, the writer there says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. There has to be a blood sacrifice. Now, you might say, that sounds very brutal, that sounds bad. It's God's will. And we may not fully understand why it is, but that's God's will. And so there had to be a blood sacrifice. And you say, well, there was plenty of that. When you think of all the animals that were sacrificed from the time of Moses down to the time of Christ, you're talking about literally rivers of blood. But that's not good enough. Look at chapter 10 again now. Hebrews chapter 10. Look at verses 3 and 4 where the writer makes this observation. In these sacrifices, and now he's talking about what the priests would do and the animal sacrifices. In these sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. It is impossible for the blood of an animal that has no voice in the matter. It doesn't say, hey, let me do the offering. It was taken involuntarily. And yet, it's not possible for that blood to wash away sins. Well, let's complete this by going back one more time to chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 12 through 14. And here, the writer sums up what we're looking at. Why Jesus had to offer the sacrifice of his own body, of his own blood. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 12. He says, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood. He entered into the holy places, and we're talking now of the true holy place in heaven. He entered into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And there's the argument the writer is making, and that's why we come together on the Lord's Day. That's why we commemorate his death on the cross by observing the Lord's Supper. Because by that offering, our sins are forgiven. And so Jesus did indeed come to this earth, and it was marvelous in Bethlehem that night. But what really was coming is what made his coming worthwhile. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to look at verses 18 and 19, and this is the idea, 1 Peter 1:18-19. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. We understand the idea of ransom, although I doubt any of us have ever participated in it in the way we normally think of it. Somebody is held hostage. And in order for them to be released, you have to pay this amount of money. Usually it's exorbitant. But what if they said, we want the blood, all of the blood of this individual? Could we pay that ransom? Would we pay that ransom? But that's how we were ransomed from sin, by the blood of the Lamb. Now let's talk about the good news. The good news that was proclaimed by angels on the evening of Jesus' birth. And you see that in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And I want us to ask, what was it that was such good news when they said that? Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And here you recall how there were shepherds out in the fields watching their flocks. And all of a sudden, this angel appears in the sky, and later will be joined by a great number of angels. But here's the announcement that was made to those shepherds. Luke 2, verses 10 and 11. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And what is that good news? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." The good news is that the Savior has been born. Now, was he the Savior at that moment as he lay in the manger? That infant, was he the Savior? Well, he was the Savior in time. But did he not have to go through the ordeal of doing the will of his Father, obeying God in every respect, being pure and innocent, so that when he was slain, his blood would be pure like that of a lamb? And so the good news was, it's begun. The process of forgiving sins is now beginning. That was the good news. And it was truly a magnificent sight. And no doubt they rejoiced to hear that news. But let's think that through for a minute. Let's go through a few things in the Old Testament to give us some background to this. Let's begin in Genesis 22. You know what happens in Genesis 22. Abraham, who now has that son that he had longed for decades, now he's here, Isaac. Not Ishmael, the one that was born to the handmaid of Sarah, but the one that was born to Sarah, even in her old age. He has that son now. How he loves that son. And yet God says, take him to the land of Moriah, to the mountain that I will show you, and offer him as a sacrifice. 3 days were spent on that journey. And so here they are, Abraham and Isaac. And Isaac doesn't know what's going to happen. But as they're going, he knows they're going to make an offering. And here's the question he raises. Genesis 22, verses 7 and 8. Isaac said to his father, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" I can imagine Abraham choked a little bit as he began to answer. I would. Don't know if I could have answered. But Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb. God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they both of them went together. And of course, we know that Isaac was not actually killed. He was put on the altar, which meant Abraham made the offering. And he was ready to do it all. But God did indeed provide the lamb that was caught in the thicket. Well, that idea is interesting because when you go to 2 Chronicles 3, verse 1, which I'm not going to read right now, we learned that that location is where the temple was built. When Solomon built the temple, that was there. It was there that David had made a sacrifice not too many years before that to stop the plague that was coming upon Jerusalem and Israel because of what he had done. And now here's the temple on this same spot where Isaac was about to be offered, and yet God provided the lamb, and it's in that vicinity, as we well know, where Jesus was crucified. And then in Isaiah 53, there's another statement in the Old Testament that I think gives us background for what we're looking at in this lesson. Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8, and again, we know this passage very well. It begins in chapter 52, verse 13, where God talks about my servant. My servant, this is what my servant is going to do. And listen again to what it says in verses 7 and 8 about God's servant. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people? Why did this happen? Because of us. Because of all others who have lived to the age of knowing what is right and wrong, and yet choosing what is wrong, he was stricken for our transgressions. And that, of course, describes so well what happened to Jesus when he was crucified in Jerusalem. He did just what Isaiah said. And by the way, did you realize, and let's just take a quick look at John chapter 19, verse 31. Did you realize the day that Jesus was crucified, there was something especially significant about that? Here's what we find right after Jesus has died. John 19, 31. Since it was the day of preparation. Note that. It was the day of preparation. And so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. And we know that. We've heard that many times. That's why Jesus' side was pierced with a spear, so that not a bone would be broken, just as it was not to be broken in the Passover lamb. The day of preparation. In fact, John wants us to get that, because also in verse 14 and again in verse 42 of this same chapter, John notes that this is the day of preparation. Well, what happens on the day of preparation? You prepare for the Passover, which means also killing the lamb. The Passover lamb that each family would partake of during that feast. And so throughout Jerusalem, many lambs, thousands of lambs likely, were being killed that day. But there was one lamb that was slain that touched all time and eternity. That was Jesus. And then you go to Acts chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. Here is the eunuch traveling back to his home in Ethiopia from Jerusalem. And as he's traveling in his chariot, he's reading from the scroll of Isaiah. And the Spirit leads Philip to go join himself to that chariot. And as Philip gets close, he hears he's reading from Isaiah 53. Now, they didn't have chapters back then, but that's the reading he was reading. And let's just see what it says in Acts 8, verses 34 and 35, after Luke tells us he's reading from Isaiah 53. The eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this?" And the passage that Luke notes is the one that we read in Isaiah 53. The eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the tragic news about Jesus. Did I read that right? The tragic news? Is that what your translation says? I hope not, because it's supposed to say the good news. Good news? A man who is innocent of all wrongdoing and is assaulted by a mob and tortured for hours and then tortured finally on a cross and dies? That's good news. Not the suffering, not the pain and the torture, but the effect is good news for all of us. And that's what led Jesus to keep on that path to the cross. Not because he looked forward to it. He prayed that if there's another way, Lord, let it be. But he always said, not my will, but yours be done. And so we understand better now what John the Baptist said when he said in John chapter 1 verse 29, here John was with some of his disciples and there's Jesus coming. And John says, as you know, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's why he came. That's one of the reasons why he came. To take away the sin of the world by offering the body that God had prepared for him. Painful though it was, yet that's what had to happen for us to be saved. There's one other passage I'll mention before we close, and that's in Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. Revelation chapter 5 verse 12, the chapter begins with a scene in heaven. Here is the Lord, the mighty one, sitting on the throne, and in his hand a scroll. And the cry goes out, who is worthy to open the scroll? And everybody looked, and it was searched. A search was made. Nobody is worthy to open that scroll. And John began weeping. But then somebody says, wait. Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah. And he turns, and it's not a lion he sees, but a lamb that looked as if it had been slain. And he takes the scroll. He is worthy to open the scroll of history. And heaven erupts with celebration. And here's what we find in verse 12 of Revelation 5. Revelation 5 verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Notice there's seven of those things described there. All those that he is worthy to receive. And why was he, out of all others, worthy to receive that scroll? Because he had lived as we do, yet without sin. And then made a sacrifice to God with his own blood. Thus winning atonement for us. And so as I think about Jesus in the manger, I smile. I rejoice. I'm happy that he came the way he did. It's more meaningful to me because I came into the world kind of like that, not in a manger, but you know, it was similar in a lot of ways. But I'll never walk the path he walked. I couldn't. But he did, because he loves us. Have you given yourself to Christ, the one who did all of that for you, just like he did for me? If you're not yet a Christian, give him that gift. Tell him you love him by becoming his follower. It's a simple process outlined in the New Testament. You hear the gospel and you decide, do I believe that he is God's son? There's plenty of evidence for that. And if you believe, do you believe it enough that you would turn away from your sins, repenting of them, confess them before others, and then do that simple thing? In fact, you don't do anything when you're baptized. You're very passive in that act. But that's what he says. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Would you do that this morning? We'd love to help you with that. And if you've done those things, have you been faithful or have you turned away and gotten back into sin? And if so, then come back home because he's ready to receive you, to forgive you. If you repent of that sin, pray for forgiveness and we'll pray with you. But whatever your need may be, if we can help, please come as we stand together and sing.
Seek ye first the kingdom. And his righteousness.
Seth has a heart that is so tender and sensitive. And again today, he is very concerned about a close person in his life, somebody that has gone down paths that they shouldn't have in the past. And he just wants to be able to put this in God's hand and pray that God will guide this person and help them to make good choices and to do what the right thing. And I appreciate Seth for this. I appreciate his love for people, and especially those that are close to him. And we're going to pray with Seth in a moment. You don't know the name of the person that we're talking about, but that's not important because God knows. And that's what we're going to do. I also want us to remember John McInnes, who is hospitalized this morning. I got a text this morning that said he was sitting up and doing okay, but still undergoing treatments for an infection, and we want to remember him in our prayers. Haven't heard more about Clyde Chisholm. Did he have a stroke? We don't know for sure, but he's Scott Chisholm's father, and had to go to the ER on Friday evening. We have Elaine and Elizabeth with us this morning. Their father passed away last week, and we want to remember them as they go through their time of sorrow. And of course, the people who have been affected by the tornadoes and others I know that I'm not thinking of, but we care. And we do want to pray for you if you'll let us know we've heard that Tammy's mother, Pat, and a lot of us know her, she's been diagnosed with cancer. And we want to remember her in our prayers. But let's go to God and pray for all of these. Our God and our Father in heaven, we do praise you, Lord, for your greatness and your love and mercy. You are everything that we need, Father, always have been and always will be. And thank you for making yourself available to us through your Son, Jesus, because without him and the atoning sacrifice that he made, we would always be at a distance, not allowed to come close to you because of our sins. But Father, thank you also for this gift of prayer, for the ability to pray for people we care about. And Father, we want to pray for this loved one in Seth's life. We pray that you will bless this person and help them that they might do well, that they might overcome past bad decisions and be put on a better course of life. And Father, we want to pray for the people in Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, Illinois, I think, and other places that are suffering because of the tornadoes. Lord, we just can't imagine what they're going through. And I pray that you'll bless them with whatever it is they need. And for those who have lost loved ones, please comfort them, Father. And Lord, we pray for these who have lost loved ones among us, for Elaine and Elizabeth. We pray, Lord, for others who are undergoing illness, Pat and John and others, Father. We know that you know all of these needs, but we ask you, Lord, be there for them. Touch their lives, improve their condition. And Father, bless us who are going through good times to always be alert to opportunities around us. Lord, we need you, and we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, and for his sacrifice. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll sing this next song as we prepare our minds to share and appreciate the Lord's Supper together. My Jesus, I love thee.
My Jesus, I love thee.
You'd like to go ahead and pull back the emblem for the bread. I was thinking and trying to put myself in the shoes of Peter, James, John, Andrew, that first time that they did the Lord's Supper following the ascension of Jesus. What would have been going through their minds? What would they have been thinking about? Would they have been thinking about the times that they all spent together? Maybe the laughs? Maybe they would have been thinking about the crucifixion. Maybe they'd think about, you know, when they ran up to the grave and saw that the stone was rolled away, right? And I don't think that they could have processed all of those thoughts and emotions in a minute between the bread and the cup. I think they probably took quite a bit longer than that to process those emotions. But sometimes we think about this minute between the bread and the cup, and we sometimes wonder, well, how long does this minute take? Because it does feel like sometimes it just takes forever. But what I want to encourage us to do today in the minute that we have portioned off is to reflect on our experience with Jesus. The effect that he created by the actions that he did. But more than that, what that means for our life and how he has impacted us. How our life is different today than it was 5, 10, 15 years ago. Let's think about that as we partake of the bread. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day that you've given to us. We thank you for the time that we now have to reflect upon the sacrifice of your Son. Lord, his life has changed our lives. His body has created this body here at Central, and we are so thankful for that. Lord, help us to never take for granted the sacrifice that he gave for us. Help us to remember the pain and the suffering that you and the Holy Spirit and your Son went through on that dark day. Lord, we thank you for the message that was presented here today, earlier with Tim, as he presented a wonderful message about the effect of the sacrifice. And Lord, help us to think about that, internalize it, process it, and think about the effect that Jesus has had on us. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's continue our prayer to God. Father in heaven, we also thank you so much for this cup that's been provided. Lord, that could only be filled with the blood of your Son. And Lord, may we do well to remember his words in John chapter 6, where he tells us that we have to eat his body, we have to drink his blood, we have to be filled with him. Lord, help us to be filled with your Son. As we partake of this cup now, help our lives to be filled with the sin-cleansing blood of your Son, to where we can walk in newness of life, to where we can be holy in such an unholy world, and be light set on a hill. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. We also want to take this as an opportunity to reflect on a blessing to be able to give. Just as Christ gave of his all, we're called to give our all. And I know that many of you all do that here in different ways. Some do it with time, the skills that you have, and some, of course, provide out of their physical means with money. And now is an opportunity for that, to give back what the Lord has given to us so that we can do good works here in Johnson City, in Kingsport and Bristol area, as we reach out to those people in our community that need him. Let's think about that as we go to God. Father, you've truly blessed us with so many wonderful opportunities to give. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity where we can give, whether it's in the baskets in the back or online or however it may be. Lord, we know that every penny that is given is important in your eyes. God, we know that what's most important is the hearts that are giving. And Lord, whether it's a penny, a dollar, $100, or whatever it might be, God, I pray that most importantly, our hearts will be directed towards you and that we'll recognize that what we're doing is investing in eternity. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let's pray once more. Our Holy Father, it's been good for us to be here today, to be taught about your Son and why he came to be the sacrifice for us that we could not pay for ourselves. And Father, I just pray that we live our lives in full dedication to him. Father, we have many on our list who are sick and those who are grieving and have lost loved ones, and Father, we ask your special care on them, and we ask your care on the many who have been impacted by the tornadoes, and for those who have lost loved ones, but even many, many more, dear Lord, who have been traumatized by something that's so unexpected, and Father, we know that your long-term care is needed to recover from such a devastation. And so, Father, please, if there is a means by which we can help minister to them, to lead us and guide us in that direction. And we pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.